This morning, I'm going to reread a little section that Roberta just read. I normally don't care which translation anyone uses, but for you to understand the next few minutes, I need to read part of this in a different translation. The very beginning of the story, when John is out amongst the people, preaching his fire and brimstone and baptizing people. Verse 15 says, "The people were filled with expectation, and they were all questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah." They were filled with expectation. All right, so when Robin and I were first married, like many couples that got married while they were still in school, we didn't have a lot. And so going out to eat was a big, big deal. And we were living in Waco, and there weren't back then a whole lot of options to go out to eat in Waco. But we had this one place that we loved called Ketox. And now this is in the 80s, so this is way before fusion became the cool thing to do in a restaurant. But this was an American-Korean restaurant. It was a great story. An American GI had married a Korean woman during the war. They'd come back to Waco, and they'd started a restaurant. He ran the front of the house, and she ran the back. Now, we were not brave enough at that point in our culinary adventures to do much Korean food, but they had the best hamburgers. They called them Lip Locker hamburgers. They were unbelievable. But that wasn't the best thing. That wasn't the best thing at all. The best thing was their French fries. And they called them Oriental fries. And I'm not sure exactly how to describe it, but they were thinly sliced French fries and carrots that were then quick fried in a wok, and they came out like this bird's nest of just wonderful potatoes and onions and carrots and parsley, and it was just magnificent. Well, eventually, we moved away from Waco, and time passed. About 15 years later, we were in San Antonio on a vacation with our teenage children. Maybe it's a little longer than 15 years, but it was about that. And on the way back from Waco to here, on the way back from San Antonio to here, you go through Waco, right? So we thought, how much fun would it be to go to Ketox and let our children experience what we had loved during the 80s, right? It was a little different. Now, it was the same family. It was their children that were running it. But I don't think they'd reinvested much in the restaurant itself. The front was pretty run down, and it was pretty sad. And the French fries were soggy, and they weren't very good anymore. Our expectations had been to share this wonderful experience from our days when we were first married with our children and let them experience how great the lip, because that's all we talked about for an hour and a half. Well, for the next hour and a half, all we heard was how it didn't live up to the expectations. And the teenagers, as you know, are quite ruthless. Expectations. You know, I do a lot of counseling with people before they get married, and one of the things that we talk about in those times together is expectations, because we all have them. Whether you want to admit it or not, you have expectations about everything. So when two people are going to get married, at the very least, I believe it's my job as the person who's going to be bringing them together to make sure that at least they understand that they have expectations. I can't get them to change their expectations in a few meetings over a span of about 6 weeks. Can't do it. But I can get them maybe to recognize that they have them. right? And as long as one of the things we do with couples is we talk about roles, expectations of roles, because in each of us grow up in a family of some sort, some kind of unit that brings us up. And in that unit, there are male and female role models that we see. We may like them, we may dislike them, but we see role models in front of us. And so I have a questionnaire that I get these couples to fill out, and it describes things that happen, like putting gas in a car, changing the oil, vacuuming the floor. And then you're supposed to put in your house growing up, who did that job, right? They do it separately, and then they compare, because every family's different. And whether you realize it or not, if you grew up in a house that was Leave It to Beaver, Mrs. Cleaver, vacuuming the floor in her pearls, and Mr. Cleaver was taking care of all the cars and the mechanics duties, you're going to impose that on your future spouse. But if you grew up in a different environment, you're going to put that expectation onto your spouse. We all have expectations. There's no way around it. But we need to recognize that we have them. In this passage, it says that the people had expectations of John, whether or not he was going to be the Messiah. You see, they had an expectation of what the Messiah was too. The Messiah was going to be a military leader, a political leader who was going to take this awful yoke that the Roman government had put on them and squished them down, and was going to take that yoke off. It was going to rise, this leader, this Messiah was going to rise to power and free the Jewish people from the bondage that they were in. That's what was in their head. That was their expectation. So you can imagine as they go out and see John in his wild outfit and his strange diet of locust and honey, thinking, how's he going to do as leader of the army? What's this guy? Is this the right thing? He's already messing with their expectations. And then he tells them, no, I am not the one. There is going to be another. And then we have Jesus. Jesus, who is the Messiah, comes not galloping in on a white horse, leading a legion of angels to fight back the Roman government, to free his people from oppression with a sword. That's not what he did. He came just like everybody else. It says in the story, among everybody, Jesus was baptized just like everybody else. He came in not as somebody special, but just like an ordinary person, submitted to baptism. And then the voice comes and says, this is my son in whom I am pleased. And I like the way Robin said it, then I love very much, my beloved. God put God's stamp of approval on how Jesus was acting that day. God said, yes, this is the type of Messiah I want. It's going to mess with your expectations. It's going to be different than you think. But this is what I want. A different kind of Messiah. Not one that comes in military with power and might, but one who comes as a servant, who turns the world upside down and says that it is more important to be last than first. It's better to be poor than rich. It's a Messiah that's going to break every expectation. In the 2002 Olympics, ice skating was a big deal, but we had Michelle Kwan, who was the one. She She had done well in the previous Olympics, and she was set to win the gold. She was going to take it all. But something happened in her. She did great. But something happened in her performance. She got too much inside her own head. She began thinking too much. She was expected to win. She knew she was expected to win, so she felt as if she had to perform like she was going to win. And she did fantastic. But then came Sandy Hughes, the 16-year-old who wasn't even supposed to medal. She's watching the performances before her, watches Michelle Kwan, who is just the top of her game, the elite. She has no expectation of winning at all. Interviewed later, she says, "I just decided that I was going to skate for the pure enjoyment of it, because this might be the only time I ever skate in the Olympics." And she skated unbelievably. And she won the gold. And Michelle won the silver. She broke the expectations because she let go of her own expectations. She let it all go. And then that freedom from some prescribed way that things were supposed to go, she bloomed. Another Olympic story. David Weiss is a freestyle skier. And that's the one that, you know, they do the half pipe, right? Where they go in and turn flips and go upside down and do all this scary stuff. Well, in the last Olympics, in the name of that town that I can't pronounce, they had this half pipe competition. And David is expected to do well. He jumps out on his first run. Halfway through his first trick, his ski pops off. And he just tumbles into the bottom of the pipe. All right, they get 3 runs. He gets to do it again. Second run, new set of skis, new set of bindings. Guess what happens? Jumps off right halfway through the run. Ski pops off the other foot. Falls to the bottom. 4 years of work, all the pressure to do well, the expectations that you have to do one thing, and that's not completely fail at the Olympics, right? The international stage, he's got one thing in his head. So third time's the charm. This time, he puts on the skis, and he has his trainer fasten them in such a way, as he tells the story, that my legs would come off before the skis do. But he decides everybody else had 3 runs to get the best. I'm just going to go have fun. I'm going to enjoy whatever comes of this run because, hey, my skis have fallen off twice. What else can go wrong? 1 run, near perfect, gold medal. Sometimes our expectations get in our way. Sometimes, even with the best of intentions, expectations don't allow us the freedom to live. Just like the people who were there listening to John, they had expectations of what a Messiah was going to be like. And the Messiah walked right underneath their vision and was baptized in the same water they were. How many of us walk into this room today with expectations? You expected something out of the music. You expected something out of me. You expected something out of each other. You have expectations. You can't help that. But you can either let those expectations get in your way, or like the 2 Olympians, You can figure out a way to let those expectations go and let the Spirit move in a way that you don't expect. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.